Aleichem Shalom, Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. Shmi Yitzchak, Ayyachi, Ayyachi. Salam aleikum, aleikum, salam, shalom aleichem, aleichem, shalom. Peace be upon you. Today is the 78th anniversary of the Nakba, which translates as the catastrophe, which is the way the Palestinians recognize 1948. My heart goes out to all the people in the Middle East and all the people who are suffering from the violence, especially perpetrated by humans. Healing to all. We have it in the power, in our power, to make a difference. So, the action also is healing. And as well as our broad healing, we have right here in our community to John and Gail and Peggy, and to Hope and Gina and Stephanie, Issa, Lulu, Janet, Noel, Luann and Karin, Jean and Carl, Tom and Steve, and you and me, and all of us. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Well, our favorite way to heal, in addition to taking action, is the arts. First, I'm going to give a big birthday shout out to Ginny Callahan, who was a programmer here for many years. She was the first person, I believe, she and another birthday KMUN person, Erica Dorfman, whose birthday is tomorrow. They were the literati of KMUN in the early days. So happy birthday to both of them and to Joey Patnod, on the air for many, many years, to relations of others, to Ivan in Germany, and to Dolores in Florida, Dawn and Anne, and to Willa, who's been a guest on this program. Happy birthday to you all. Well, my first guests are blessedly here. Yeah, and things happen, you know, folks. We all know that, and we can't always control them. As a matter of fact, we usually can't control them, but we do the best we can. And I'm glad to welcome Jenny Newton, who is the president of the Lower Columbia Q Center.
Chair is the official title.
Chair.
I feel like president sounds loftier.
Okay, I'm going to write chair, but I consider you lofty, Dr. Jenny Newton.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes, let's give credit where it's due. And many of you know Jenny because she has been in... she's been in this community all her life.
I was born in this community.
Yes, you were born in Seaside. That's right.
Someone out there might be living in the apartment in which I was born.
Oh, you were born at home?
It's an apartment complex.
Yeah.
That?
St. Mary's.
Yes.
We were both born in St. Mary's Hospital.
I often wondered if one of my students, it was my birthing room.
That is sweet. I love
it. That's a lot of information.
We'll talk about that.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay, folks, now you know who you're talking to. Jenny Newton and Marco Davis, who I believe, Marco, were you one of the founders of the Lower Columbia Q Center?
I was the founding chair.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And so they are here because all kinds of things are happening. And their part of it is to talk about, well, to solicit folks from you, the audience, for a talent show. I believe, in addition to, of course, celebrating Pride Month, LCQC is celebrating 10 years. Is that correct?
It's truly our 11th year of Pride, but to be honest, if you count all the years correctly, but there was a year that was there was a small break. I think
we took a.
Yes, I think I remember.
So
okay, well, we will say the 10th and 11th year. As that. And I like the way it was listed, 10 years fierce.
10 years fierce.
There
we're going fierce no matter what. It's fierce. Yes.
There you go. So there is a queer celebration talent competition.
Yes.
What, when, how, and who can get involved?
Well, first of all, if you have any way to celebrate the queer community, then you've got in with a performance, then you can be involved. So let me start with that. And we've got different ways for entertainers to be involved in many ways this year. There was four different spots. And I'm like, we need entertainers for any of these spaces. So you want to come show us your wares, your mm-hmm. thing, your craft, mm-hmm. then there are spaces. But the queer talent competition is, this is a first shot at this.
Yes.
Well, and we have one of our most celebrated talent performer in the room with us. That would be Marco Davis, who is a dancer, a performer of all kinds, acting, directing, writing. What was that just last year?
Yeah.
Your play? Oh, that was so fabulous at the 10:15. And in addition, he's also a premier chef and he's a massage therapist and lots of other things. And so... but here we're going to focus on the performance, is that it? The talent competition?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, you know, I mean, we always believe that the Pride celebration should be in celebration of our community. And it just seemed like a great way to get our community involved by having a talent show. Because then people who are wanting to put their acts together or performances together can come. We're going to have auditions on June 6th, right?
We have auditions June 6th, though anybody could send in a video audition, a recording of their audition, and so they don't even have to do an in-person audition. So if they performed at a previous event and there's their mom or their daughter...
Somebody recorded
it. Someone recorded it, that's enough. Right. It doesn't have to be more formal.
Okay, does it have to be... is this for Clatsop County people?
The Lower Columbia. We're all in this region.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm wondering. So that might include
South County.
County, Pacific County.
Totally,
Okay. So what kinds of stuff are you looking for? And you know what? Before that, give us a quick logistics.
Okay.
When is stuff due, and when is this going to happen?
So here's what we've got going. We've got this competition, and part of this is we were trying to figure out how to include people in other areas of performance, because traditionally this performance piece has been fairly focused on dance and music. Yeah. Is that a fair explanation, dance and music? And so there, but we had some people who were actors or are actors, yes, or filmmakers. And they said, but I have talents too. So this, we thought, was a way to broaden the spectrum of people who could participate. So we've got four different primary categories: music, which would be vocal, instrumental, solo, or group; movement, which would be dance, mime, lip sync, juggling, I don't know, whatever you have that's movement-wise. Mm-hmm. Presentation, which might be speaking, drama, poetry.
Could it be rhetoric?
Yes, it could be rhetoric. It could be. It could be poetry reading or something like that. And then we have a category called short shorts, which are short films, two-minute films.
Oh, nice.
Two-minute max. And then this works for us in two ways. Two-minute films allows us something to cover stage changes as well. So it's a win-win for us all. For the audience and the flow. So, it gives filmmakers a spot to be featured in a way that's also in a public way that we didn't have before. So we're hoping that this
Do you have a venue?
We are going to be at the Liberty Theater, and the show is on January 20th. The J's were all the same. It's been a long day.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry. You're right. Thank you, Marco.
June 20th.
June 20th.
I didn't mean to jump like
at that. At the Liberty. Well, that's quite a nice stage, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we have until June 6th to receive audition material, either through email, and we can give you the email, or there's also an email link on the website at the Q Center. Or if you want to come and audition live, then we will be at Kala that day from 1 until 4, and you can just drop on in and do an audition then. And the reason we're doing the audition is because we really, for time slots, we only have about 4 spots per
category
if we get all the categories. We also, though, will have a prize for youth talent, which could be from any of the categories, but a separate prize for that, and a special nod specifically for the Drag Star Award. So all categories are open to anybody in drag, but not limited to drag. So I just want to make sure that that's clear too. We've got an extra prize for that. So
many prizes.
That's what I'm thinking. Jeez.
Well, and you always win prizes, Carol. I swear.
Prizes.
Every raffle, you
I used
always.
To. Yes, not anymore.
Oh, really?
But that's good because my houses. Anyway. Okay. What age is youth in this?
Youth for us is up to 14 years old.
Okay. Good. Okay. And did I mention that Dr. Newton was also a teacher at Astoria High School, from which Mr. Davis graduated? However,
yes. She wasn't my teacher.
No, she's too young to be my teacher. I was, however.
We did shows together though.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you like to add to this mix?
To come and join us. And hearing us might be too much, so maybe check out the website.
Which
is at lcqcpride.org/pride-2026.
Okay. Would it be good enough if someone went to lcqcpride.org?
Yes.
And somebody might be driving. Yeah. We don't want them to write this down. Okay. And is there any, because that's what I was wondering with when I saw the list of judges, I saw that some of you are already performers. Is there any coaching going on or anything like that?
At this time, I don't know of any coaching that's already been set up. However, we have an opportunity between the 6th of June and the 20th of June that if somebody auditions and they're like, it's kind of ready, but not ready.
Yeah.
But the judges are like, we think this could be there.
Gotcha.
Could you work on this one thing to help it out? Then
Got
that's
it.
Great.
Good.
And so in the audition process, we're scoring it for, are they ready to go, close to ready to go, or definitely not ready yet?
Yes.
So
next year.
And we're looking for the group that are the grouping that by the end of that, you know, the next 3 weeks will be, this is the group that's ready to be on stage.
It's going to be fabulous.
Well, and I'm just excited to see who turns up for it, because it's just so great to open it up to auditions like this because you get people that you're not necessarily expecting to see that will show up and say, hey, I've got this.
Right. Now, what qualifies as a queer celebration talent? Do you need to, A, be queer? Do you need to, B, offer some content like a song that's from something special? Or, oh, I forgot to mention, Marco Davis is the co-host of Over the Rainbow, which has been on KMUN for many, many years with a hiatus, but they are strong back. What is it? Saturday? Or
every other Saturday. This Saturday, 6 to 8.
Right. And get your dancing shoes on. He and David get me up and dancing all the time. So what are the
What we're doing is we have there's a tiny piece, about 10% of the scoring. 10% of the scoring is based on, does this act support the queer community? What does that mean? You covered it, Carol. It could be, look, I'm a performer, I'm part of the queer community, and I want to show you what I can do, and this is an example of visibility right here. It could also be, this is a piece that represents the queer community as an iconic piece of music or this speech. Or it could be a piece that celebrates it because it talks about it. Maybe I'm giving a poem about my cousin or about an experience I had. Any way that you as a performer have to encapsulate the celebration of the queer community. And this year, our board is using the three verbs, elevate, educate, and empower. So if I've been saying, if you can tuck one of those words into your description about how it connects to the queer community, you've got it. You've got it down.
That sounds great. I like that.
Yeah.
Because there are, as we all know, with all of our activist and human behaviors, we all have allies. And without our allies,
we're nothing.
We're nothing. Yeah. So this is open to all. If you need more information, is there a phone number or best to go to the website? Okay. So Lower Columbia Q Center Pride,
LCQC,
or just LCQC
Pride.org.
Yep.
And if you haven't ever been there, it's a great way to learn about what else is offered in this community. Anything last minute?
The last few things, if you're not interested in the talent competition, maybe that's, you're like, not my venue, or I don't have that weekend. We do have opportunities for performers in our Riverfront Pride March on the 27th. At the block party, we've got quiet stages and then outdoor louder stage spaces, 18 and up stage space, and a family-friendly stage space for everything from reading childhood books to people
and where,
to performance. And that will be at the Fort George area, the block party.
Right.
And then we also have some pride workshops around the community. Okay. So maybe you're a performer who wants to teach the best drag makeup application or the best performance dance skills for something and you want to set that up with us, then there's a chance that we can get you set up and scheduled and to do that workshop around town that week for Pride.
Woohoo! June is Pride Month. It stretches for the rest of the 11 months of the year. We generally celebrate in June. So this sounds great. LCQCPride.org. And take it from there, folks. And join in, even if you think this is a crazy idea, but I'll try it. Go ahead and do it. You can see this is a very receptive and welcoming group.
One last little thing. Prize packages also are $200 plus in the package that we're putting together for each of the categories.
Woo.
So it's not just a little trophy.
Okay.
It's some stuff.
There's one more motivation. You got to pay your bills. Come to Pride. Okay, thank you so much. Jenny Newton, the chair of the LCQC, Lower Columbia Q Center, and Marco Davis, the founding chair, and still very active person in our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Oh,
love you.
Got some more music. This is from David Broza and okay, let's do that.
Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why. Why can't we live together? Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why. Why can't we live together? Everybody wants to live together. Why can't we be together?
And here we are together, together, together. It's the only way we're going to make it in this world, folks. So my guests now are, I believe they came all the way from Raymond. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I used to have regulars from Raymond, and that would have been Virginia. And Andy Carlson.
Oh, I love Virginia and Andy. We know them.
We know them
well.
Talk
about the theater. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so I'm delighted to have you here. But this is on a whole nother subject, although not really, because we're all in the arts, right? Yes. Well, Pacific County, I got the word that Pacific County Museum Month is May. And I'm going to have my guests tell you what that means and how you can, if you're smart and lucky, get involved. Pacific County is Washington, right across the river from where we're sitting right now. Lori Bowman is the director emeritus. I suspect she's still very, very involved.
Yes.
You don't just walk out there. And her husband, Jerry Bowman, is very conveniently the museum curator.
That is correct.
What? Talk about tag teaming. you got it all set up. So, Lori, why don't you tell us what that means for this to be? Oh, and what museum are they involved with? I failed to mention the Northwest Carriage Museum. We've heard about it on KMUN before. It's quite a phenomenal place. But they are also going to share, not talk about each museum, but share what is being offered in the entire area. So, Lori, take it away.
All righty. Well, thank you for letting us be here. It's an opportunity that we just really appreciate. Museum Month in Pacific County, the first time we did it was in 2023. Uh-huh. And now doing it again, it's just such a wonderful opportunity for folks to get to know rural Pacific County. Uh-huh. It's actually in May because it coincides with International Museum Day, which is May 18th.
Oh,
so that's kind of how it all came together. It's basically through the Pacific County Tourism Board, which is known as the Evergreen Washington Coast. Mm-hmm. So excited about it. It's the opportunity for 11 museums in Pacific County for you to visit them. We have the opportunity we have a passport that you can pick up at any of the museums, and each museum has a place where it can be stamped. And this year, because of Evergreen Coast, we actually have a cute little pin that relates to the museum. Like ours is a little carriage, obviously, because we're the carriage museum.
So you mean each museum has a pin?
Yes. And those are available as supplies last. And yeah. I can't believe May's half over already.
No, I'm sorry we didn't get you on earlier. We just
but, you know, I think most of your listeners are in a perfect place. You just hop on over the bridge,
right.
Beautiful drive. You go into Pacific County. You can turn left and go into Iwako, where the Columbia Heritage Museum. Exactly. Also, you head over into Long Beach. You've got the Kite Museum. I mean, there's yes. So many of the museums. And what's fun about all of them them is they all are family friendly. Mm-hmm. They all offer something unique, whether it's the heritage of the area or the culture. And seeing all our small towns, the coast is just beautiful, the drive along the coast. So it's very exciting. And I love Museum Month because people come from museum to museum and they share their passports and where they've been and, you know, what they liked, and they can't wait to get to the next one. And then, of course, we're hoping y'all will come on up and drive up to Raymond, which is about 45 minutes north. And, of course, when you come through South Bend, you've got the Pacific County Historical Museum. You've got our museum, which is right next door to the Seaport Museum. And then just a short 15-minute ride out on 105, you get to the Shoalwater Bay Museum, which is things the heritage of the Shoalwater Bay Tribe.
Right.
So
you just named five, okay. If I'm right. I was counting my fingers.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. So I'll lose track.
You got six more there. I mean, how big is this area?
Well, Pacific County is a big place.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. What people don't realize, Pacific County has probably 25,000 people in the entire county, and it's the size geographically of Rhode Island. So there's a lot of rural areas in between and trees and, mm-hmm. and whatever, beautiful mm-hmm. area. But there's South County and there's North County, and in those two areas, there are 11 museums that are participating in this program this year. And I'm a history buff, obviously doing the curation that I do at the Northwest Carriage Museum. I absolutely love history. Lori and I, when we travel, we can't go past a museum without stopping, no matter where it is. So within Pacific County, there's just so much opportunity with history, with the history of logging, if that's something interesting.
Is there a museum for that? I know there's a Cranberry Museum.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I was going to say that. The Cranberry Museum, you know, they're all about the cranberry and actually the research. And if you go there, they've got all sorts of cranberry treats that are wonderful. So I highly recommend them. And the other one you don't want to miss is Cape D, what's it called? Lewis and Clark. I can't forget. I forget that. Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. Fabulous place.
Okay. So that is considered. You mentioned North and South Pacific. Are you guys rivals at baseball or something?
Not at all.
It's easier to say you're either in South County or North County.
Yeah. Most of the time, people, when they think of South County, they think of the Long Beach Peninsula, basically. And when they think of North County, they think of South Bend and Raymond. And and there's, you know, there's some 35, 40 miles in between those two areas. So they're not next door neighbors, per se, but they're all part of the same community, all part of the same government, if you will. South Bend, Washington has the county courthouse, which is an absolutely beautiful museum in itself, if you've ever get the mm-hmm. opportunity to do that. But, it's not a rivalry. It's just that we're separated geographically by a lot of land.
That's helpful because I know even about the Humane Society, it's called the South County. because we have Clatsop County, that's it. No, I live in East County, which is usually discounted because it's so rural.
Yeah.
I am delighted to hear you folks talking about the rural aspect of this.
And one thing that's wonderful, Josh Phillips, who actually invited me to speak with you today, the director of the Long Beach Tourism Board, which is the Evergreen Coast, he has done a phenomenal job at bringing all of the museums together and making sure that we're all communicating. And so I have to give him a shout out.
Nice.
And then when you talk about like the different museums and what they offer, the Pacific County Historical Museum up in South Bend, they're all things Pacific County, but they've got the logging, they've got the fishing, as well as at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. Their displays are fabulous.
Yes, that's one of my favorite places. Is like the Apollo Center, is that considered a museum? Or?
Yes, it is. And it is, if you're heading up.
Special
place. Yeah, then you would. They actually are a neat little museum. They are specialized in doing research. And is it the Swedish background? I forget the I saw it somewhere.
Norwegian.
Norwegian, okay.
Is it Norwegian or Finnish?
Finnish, that's it, yeah. Right. So, and I will tell you on all of these, I suggest, because we have a lot of small museums,
yeah.
unlike ours and that's open every day 10 to 4, it's like check with them. Go to their website and make sure that they're open. A couple of them, I believe, are appointment only.
Oh, wow.
So it's still worthwhile to go, but check and make sure that you're going to be able to get in, especially with the different locations.
Okay, so now... I have just heard this broadcast. I'm going, wow, 11 museums. I'm visiting, or I live here, but I've never gone to some of those places. How do I get this package of information so I can even look up the museum?
The best place to go would be Evergreen Coast, Washington. It's actually Evergreen Coast spelled out WA.com. And you can click on there for Museum Month, and they have all the museums listed and a little bit about each one. So that would be my suggestion. Otherwise, if you just know the name of a museum, you can probably just type it in your search engine,
right.
and it will come up.
Right. But
this, we're all in one place is go to Evergreen Coast, Washington.
Right. Because, as I say, even living here for 52 years, I don't know about all of those.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a good time. Hopefully everybody will come see all the museums because most of the museum, matter of fact, all of them have something special going on. It might be the Napton Cove Heritage
I was just gonna
Center.
Ask. Yes.
You know, that's just right over the bridge. And,
yes.
you know, that's an original quarantine station.
Right.
So how fabulous is that?
And they're doing, smell a rat.
Yes, and that's on May 25th. Matter of fact, their little pin is a rat. But they're doing a very special day on Memorial Day, Monday, May 25th.
Okay.
So if you're heading up this way, that would be a great day to see their museum and then several of the others.
Right. And I've had Nancy and her daughter on the air over the years. But
yes.
we're running out of time
nice
here.
Oh.
So I'm glad you guys can give us this overview.
Yeah.
And any other museums that we missed?
I think we've
I stopped counting.
The Kite Museum, they're
yes,
fabulous.
Yeah.
The Willapa Seaport Museum's next to us. I think the only one maybe that we didn't was the Willapa Bay Interpretive Museum.
Hmm. And where is that?
That one is actually out towards
Nakata.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
Up the road.
Yeah. Halfway up the out the peninsula towards Oysterville. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Do you want to give us a minute or two? But can you give us an overview of the Carriage Museum, since that's your specialty?
We'd be happy to do that. Lori and I have been involved with the Carriage Museum for over 20 years, and it will be celebrating our 25th anniversary next year. But we have what most people consider to be one of the finest carriage museums in the country.
What is a carriage museum?
Is actually most of our vehicles in the museum are from the 1880-1890 period of time. I have personally restored about 45 of them over the last 20 years. We have stagecoaches, elegant coaches, sleighs, buggies, all kinds of horse-drawn vehicles, basically, plus thousands of artifacts that we take great pride in.
Where do you
We're
get
up to 65.
Where do they come from?
Well, to be honest, Carol, we used to look for them, but because of our reputation around the country, speaking events that we do around the country, across the Pacific Northwest, they find us now. And believe it or not, I get offered probably 2 to 3 vehicles a month from all over the country.
Goodness.
And I turn down 99% because we're out of room.
Right.
You know, yeah. But we take great pride. And one of the nicest things that we hear when people talk about the Carriage Museum, that what they say to us is, what in the heck is a world-class museum like this doing in Raymond, Washington? And we laugh about that. Because we're noted all over the country and all over the world. We get people, visitors from all over, and it's a great place to come and visit if you're interested.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're open every day 10 to 4.
Ooh.
And for Museum Month, it's $1 off our regular admission price, which is $10, and 10% off our gift shop, because we do act as a visitor center and have a lovely little gift shop as well.
Okay.
So.
I was going to ask you that. We don't give prices usually. But
oh, sorry.
That's okay. Too late. But The museum, some charge, some don't.
Don't, exactly.
I know that.
Some are by donation.
Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum at some point became open free. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that was a nice boon there, but something's got to pay for the stuff too.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Well, what is your website at the Carriage Museum?
It's www.nwcarriagemuseum.org.
Okay, got it. In case someone is particularly, because I suspect that's an unusual. I mean, each one of these is unusual.
Yes.
Because it's so place related, mm-hmm. which is special. But yours is less place related, but the subject is so esoteric.
There are other carriage museums in the country, but to be honest, the majority of them are on the East Coast because that's where the businesses were originally. Mm-hmm. By the time people were settling on the West Coast, trains were bringing those carriages and wagons out.
Interesting.
So there wasn't a lot of manufacturing out here. So there's more on the East Coast than there are on the West Coast. And we are certainly by far one of the largest on the West Coast and considered to be one of the best in the country. We're very proud of it.
And we love doing tours. So if you have a group of people, give us a call and we'll schedule you a tour.
Okay, folks, this is Jerry Bowman, museum curator, and Lori Bowman, the director emeritus from the NWCarriageMuseum.org, that's NWCarriageMuseum.org, in Raymond. Raymond isn't very big, so I suspect they'll find it is there. Are you right on the main trail?
Right on 101 at the roundabout.
When you come to the traffic circle, look left and you'll see it.
Okay, that's great. And it's this Pacific County Museum Month is this May. We are already halfway through. So go to the Evergreen Coast, WA for Washington.com, evergreencoastwa.com, and check out some of these museums, as Lori's suggestion, some of them are only open at certain times. Go to their website, see what they got, and spend some time. Talk about a family affair. This is a great idea. And then you can pick up all your goodies, too. Thank you so much. And thanks to Josh, too, for securing, and to Maddie for sending me to Josh. It's like,
yes.
I love this small. And yeah, thanks for coming all the way from Raymond.
Thank you for
Thank
the
you.
Opportunity.
Appreciate
we
it.
Appreciate it.
Okay,
Thank
have
you.
Have a great rest of the month.
You too.
Okay. Thank you.
Got one more fabulous guest, so stay tuned. Here is, some music from a group that is playing tomorrow night at Kala. It's called the Heart Collectors from Australia. And I chose this piece particularly for my next guest, and thanks Dinah, thanks Viri, and it's called Stand Up. Aha! Well, that's not what you're going to hear, but pay attention to this.
Get out and vote, get out and vote, get out and vote, gonna get out and vote. Your ID check off the roll, gonna grab these suckers, gonna get out.
So you hear it, folks, here in Oregon, get out and vote. Of course, mail-in voting is happening. I dropped mine off last weekend. And for others, check your date. May 19th is the date for Oregon. Stay tuned. And here, I hope, are the Heart Collectors. Stand up. That's the Heart Collectors with Stand Up, and they will be at Kala tomorrow evening in Astoria from Australia. And I picked that particular piece because it talks about standing up with courage. And my last guest today, I think, has done just that. Well, he's still doing it. This is a work in progress, as life is for all of us. And Brad Pycik is here with me. Some of you have heard about Brad. Maybe it was right here on the radio on a program that he co-founded with Sean Davis called Rogue Cell. Or maybe it's because you went to our local venue and heard him reading from the book. But I invited him to talk about why he wrote the book, who he is, and the title of the book is Dragon's Current, The Storm That Stayed Inside, a memoir by Brad Pycik. And welcome, Brad.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I know you've been on the radio.
I have. And some days I do good at it, and other days I don't. But I think this will be a good day.
I think so, too. And, you know, I think we all feel that way. As, as I was reading your book, including so many doubts that you had, and they were so real, I thought of the term imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
And I thought, I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, what? What is that? And when I found out what it meant, I said, oh, is that what I've got sometimes? And I sort of, by talking to people, I discovered so many of us have. But in your case, it went so much deeper. So why don't you tell us, talk to us about why you wrote the book, what your experiences are?
Well, I didn't initially set out to write a memoir. At the beginning, I was just trying to understand what had happened to me in my life. And it's more of a survival project than it was a book. And
interesting.
As other people were, and I was workshopping it in classes through community ed at Clatsop Community College, mm-hmm. and other people were really encouraging and telling me, you need to tell this story because there's people that need to hear it.
Absolutely.
And I didn't, you talk about imposter syndrome. When I was in high school, there was nothing I wanted more than to be a writer. Mm. And I went and did it, all kinds of other things since then, but I didn't write. And I still am not comfortable calling myself a writer, but we are holding my book, so.
And with a big congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But to get back to your question, it's the book itself was me trying to understand a story that I couldn't carry inside. I mean, we talk about mental illness in it a lot, and can we use the dreaded S word on here? The suicidality.
Yes.
And ideations, and more than ideations, and where I've been with that, and how much I experienced eventually a recovery, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on.
Mm-hmm. Let's give a little background.
Okay.
You were in the military for 15 years?
15 years, that's right.
And you kept on, you ended up when you left, you were a major.
Now, I was a major. That's the fourth rank in the officer world in the Army.
Exactly. I mean, and I don't follow these, but I know. That's because I watched also to captain to major. Did it surprise you? It seemed to sometimes when you were given this promotion. You knew you deserved it, and yet you were sure you didn't.
When I went inpatient, and not long after my wife told me, it's like, you need to go and get help. And eventually it ended up to where I had to call my wife to let her know that, hey, they're about to take my phone away because I tried to kill myself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't remember it quite like that, which is, it's a strange thing how memory works.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially when you have a psychotic disorder, which I do. I have schizoaffective disorder.
Does that have a breakdown that you can say?
You know, the easiest way to...
I tried looking it up. I can't.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one, a tough nut to crack. But the best way I describe it is I'm a mixture of schizophrenia and bipolar, but it comes and it goes. It's not constant like somebody that's schizophrenic would have. So, like right now, I'm doing very well. And
yes, and that's good.
There's other times when I was very much the opposite.
Right, and that is in the book. I was surprised because I was lucky enough to catch your just part of the reading, but at least to meet you and your wife and your two children.
Yeah.
No, they're not adults yet, but they're getting
there.
They're
working on it.
They're getting there.
They're getting there. They're both in. One's about to graduate high school, and the other one is a couple years behind.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. And I saw this beautiful family, and it felt really good to be there with you, your family, all of the other people who were listening. And
so I did a lot of research on how to write, and I've read a lot about the hero's journey. And I went through a lot and changed a lot, but I couldn't have done any of this without my wife. And if there's anybody that I would label the hero of my story, she's the one that really pulled me through. April's going to hear this. Love you to death.
You did mention that someone who does have a severe mental illness needs a hero or a partner.
You do.
And you. I think you have a lot to teach people about that. But I think one of the best lessons is that you're sitting here with me, with this book, and you are a productive member of society. And
Some days.
Well, I think that's the problem, is that some people consider a lot of us not particularly productive unless we're earning some vast amount of money or live in a palace or whatever. That's not my values, clearly, and that's part of the reason I live here. Mm-hmm. It sounds as though you felt also that this was a good place to be.
Astoria is the end of this book, and there's no other place that it could have ended besides this town. And the... as I like to point out, and I'm sure somebody told me, so I can't take credit for this, but Astoria is where the muses, this is where they came to live. This town is filled with artists, as you know, filled with artists, musicians, writers, photographers, all kinds of creatives.
Dancers, everything.
Everything. Yeah. You were just talking with Marco.
Right.
And, some of that and kind of took with me, and I started writing. And you mentioned Sean Davis. He was in my corner and doing a lot of encouragement. And
yeah, you wrote some beautiful stuff about the veterans community here.
The veteran community is something that I'm very proud to be a part of here. And I was not, I felt like, as you said, imposter syndrome. I felt like I didn't deserve to call myself a veteran for many years. And I was prodded by a therapist to leave my appointment early and go to a veteran breakfast. And that's where I met the VSO at the time, that's Veteran Service Officer, was Josh Davis. And he said, not related to Sean, but he said, there's some people I need you to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I started meeting veterans, and I started seeing a lot of things that surprised me. And that was that a lot of commonality. And I thought that my experience was shameful because of how it ended, because I was medically retired from the Army for what I considered weakness at the time.
Mm-hmm. The and you mentioned this here, the concept of we are not alone. You are not alone.
No.
I am not alone. And this is something we have to learn over and over and over again.
We do. I think that the state of loneliness is possibly the most dangerous place I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, and that can be, even if you're in a group or with other people, having that feeling that's deep inside. So the name of the book, Dragon's Current. Who's the dragon?
Well, the dragon, it's both a concept and it's almost an entity, because I hear voices in my head. And one in particular, the main one I hear, I couldn't come up with a better name for it than the dragon. And the dragon is vile and evil, and it knows every single chink in my armor. And it knows, I've learned a lot of things about the dragon. And one of the most important things that I've found out about the dragon is that it's not real. It's not me, but it's part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. And April has helped me learn how to talk back to it. In my head, yeah, she's great. I see a fist pump. She's awesome.
But it's coming from you at this point, and that's the beauty. I think one of the big lessons that you're teaching and sharing with people is that one can get through this, but not alone.
Not alone.
And the first time I saw you was actually at the Liberty Theater. When the Rogue Cell organization,
yes,
had produced this film, you and Sean, I think,
yeah,
something like 4,000 miles all
4,000 miles Oregon. All over the state of Oregon, yeah. And we talked with veterans and people that care about veterans and people that work with veterans, just about the epidemic of veteran suicide,
right.
Because I feel, and this is in the documentary, I truly feel that as a survivor, it's my duty and my responsibility to be there for others.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're doing that.
Thank you.
And I think it's quite wonderful. What would you recommend if somebody is hearing this or wants to share it with somebody else they think should hear it? How do they get in touch with all of these hotlines that are happening to support people? Because I've been here for a very long time, and it wasn't always like this. As you know, again, the idea of guilt, or it's my fault, or I'm stupid, it's not just you or me. It's so many people.
It's everybody.
And, yeah.
It really
some
is.
Some little piece, and that's the chink that the dragon gets in.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it comes from us. So how do people, who can they contact, or what should they do?
If you're in crisis and you can't get to an emergency room, you call 988. If you're a veteran, you dial 1 after that, or you just call 911. I mean, there are emergency services. They are there. They are ready. They will help you. If you feel like you're lonely, but you're not in crisis, you reach out to your friends. You find new friends. I mean, we mentioned Rogue Cell. We do dog walks every Saturday. Mm. We do all kinds of events. We'd love to have you there. And if you're not a veteran, we'll just give you a high five and maybe, I mean, I was an officer. I'll make you raise your hand and I'll enlist you real quick.
Sounds good. And I know.
We actually have enlisted one person into our crew.
That's great. I know Peg does started a coffee.
Okay.
For vets too,
you just mentioned right? it. Peg is who we enlisted.
Uh-huh.
Because she's done
not
so
a vet,
much.
But she's done, yeah.
She's done a lot for veterans. Right. And I'm going to plug her event then. Every Thursday from 9 to 11 at the Elks.
Is it at the
At the Astoria Elks.
Okay.
So up on the second floor.
Okay.
There is an elevator because a lot of the people that come to it need it. And it's a great event. We have so many wonderful veterans and people that care about veterans that come there. And it's great. It's community. And community is what really what saved me.
It's my favorite word.
Community is great.
Yeah. This is KMUN Community Radio. That's why you and I are both here together. We could talk, or you could talk for hours, and I'm sure you have, but I would recommend the book for people who are ready to read Dragon's Current, The Storm That Stayed Inside, a memoir by Brad Peitzik. That's P-I-E-T-Z-Y-K. Yep, it's one of those names.
It's all of the tough letters to find on a keyboard.
Consonant names. Yeah.
Yes.
And in the meantime, again, 988 is the suicide crisis line. And if you put 1 for veterans, join folks. Does Rogue Cell have a website?
We do. It's roguecell.org.
Okay. Easy as
Very
that.
Very simple.
And tune in for the... radio show on Thursday mornings. We are way out of time. Sorry, Brad.
Oh, we're
Thank
great.
You so
Thank
much
you.
For being here. And lots of luck. Everything.
Thank you.
KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, 91.9.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.